I want to join Tony in thanking all of you who've come. Some of you have come from quite a distance, from San Antonio and Dallas and Belton and other places. Also, I want to acknowledge our gratitude to our parents' caregivers who lovingly and faithfully took care of them for several years. Elisa Martinez is here. I think she worked about 20 years for my parents. And then Gritza Valero is here with her son, Eric, and Edith Elias. So thank you all very much. We also want to thank Dr. Elizabeth Bomey for her fine medical care. And I want to express my gratitude also to my sister-in-law, Karen, because she has also been a great blessing in caring for our parents. Well, we're here today to celebrate Mom's life and also to speak about the one in whom she had hope for her life now and eternity to come. I just want to say two things about her. I want to talk for a few minutes about her service, and then I want to talk about her faith. First of all, I want to talk about her service to her family. You just heard the letter that Daddy wrote to her, in which he said, "You held the family together." And certainly, she was instrumental in doing that. There are a lot of things she did for us. I remember going to school, carrying a sack lunch. She had a sandwich and a piece of fruit and always had a couple of cookies for us. She was a good cook. She hadn't always been a good cook. In fact, I remember telling me that one time when she and Daddy were courting, that he came over and she served him at her parents' home and served him pecan pie, which he really liked. But she never told him until later that her mother had actually cooked it. But she did learn to cook, and some of her recipes that I really enjoyed were chicken fricassee and black bottom pie and okra and tomatoes. Now, one thing she trained us to do was to clean her plate. So even to this day, I find it very difficult to leave any food on my plate. I usually clean my plate, as Mama taught me. She was kind enough to cook our wild game that Tony and I caught, fish, occasionally a wild goose, and the next day or two we'd have goose meat sandwiches at school, deer, and even frog legs, which, as you may know, have a tendency to jump in the pan. Her Sunday lunches were always special. She would go to church at St. Luke's Methodist, but also do the work of planning, and it was always a treat to eat Sunday lunch. There would usually be other relatives, such as grandparents or aunts, there. She was a gracious host and an excellent cook. When we were children, and occasionally we'd go to a restaurant and eat, she would always tell Tony and I want you to get the cheapest thing on the menu. She wasn't used to having a lot of money. And so we did. And even to this day, I have a tendency to get the cheapest thing on the menu. She would take us to the clothing store, buy clothes for school. She attended athletic events, such as track meets that I ran in, she and Daddy. She was always interested in our friends. She was interested in who they were and what their interests were. She was an especially close friend and soulmate with my sister Carol. Carol and her talked practically every day, and they were very close. I remember when I was running a cross-country meet in Dallas as a sophomore at the University of Texas. It was a hot day, about 94 degrees, very humid, and I had a heat stroke that day. And coach called them, Coach Jack Patterson, if any of you remember him. They caught the next plane, flew up to Dallas, and were at my bedside to look after me. So her service to her family was wonderful, and we appreciate all that she did. She also loved Houston. We were actually living in Colorado. She wanted to come back to Texas. My dad was in the Army. We went to San Antonio first and then back to Houston because she wanted to be in Houston. One of the things that I'm quite proud of her for is that several years ago, she was on some kind of committee that was trying to ban massage parlor billboards in Houston. She belonged to many organizations. You can read about it in the obituary. One of her favorite was the Battleship Texas Foundation, where she served for about 20 years. She wanted my brother Tony to kind of take over working on that foundation. She was getting old, and he wasn't really interested. And so one day she said, "Tony, I'm just not doing well. I really need you to take me to the Battleship Texas meeting." So he agreed to that. A few weeks later, she did the same thing. The next time they had a meeting, he was a little more willing to go. And sure enough, that was her strategy to get him interested. And he is now the, was it president of the Battleship Texas Commission, Foundation, rather. Hope I got the name right. I want to talk about her faith next. She was a lifelong Methodist. She was not perfect, like all of us. I remember one of her habits when she was still driving. She was an aggressive driver. She would weave in and out cars, and I think I'd been living in Louisiana, and I wasn't used to the big city. When I came, I was driving cautiously and carefully, and she didn't like that. She was impatient. She wanted me to hurry up, get in front of those people, move along. That's the way she drove. I'm indebted to my mom because when we were little boys, she would come into our bedroom after we'd gotten in bed, and she would sit down and have us pray. She would pray that prayer that most of you probably know. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Then she had us pray, "God bless Mommy and Daddy and everyone I know and love." And I say I owe a great debt to her for doing that, because she instilled within me as a small child an acknowledgement. That there is a living God, and He hears prayer, and He needs to be acknowledged and prayed to. Well, when we were living in Denver, Colorado, I remember she sent us to a children's church they had on the Fitzsimmons Army Hospital base there. And that was perhaps my first acquaintance with Christian songs, and we learned to sing "Onward, Christian Soldiers," which is appropriate on a military base. One of the most significant things in her own spiritual journey, I believe, is there was a period a few years ago when she joined the St. Martin's Episcopal Church over here for their ladies' Bible study. And she really got interested in that. She made some good friends there, such as Sue Morrison, who's a very devoted friend and was part of that group. And it seemed like Mom began to blossom spiritually after that experience. When people in the family would have problems, grandchildren, children, she would say, she'd be asked to pray, and she said, "Yes, I will pray." For me personally, the last 2 or 3 years have been the most precious with my mom, because when I'd come down to Dallas, I would almost always read the scriptures to her, and I would pray with her. And she was just like a sponge, soaking up water. She just delighted to hear the Word of God. She loved to pray with me. She attended the chapel services that they have here at the Hallmark while she could. She believed the gospel. I talked to her about the gospel over the years. She believed that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and lived among men and women, that he lived a sinless life. He died on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of the sins of his people. Then he resurrected from the dead on the third day. As I mentioned in the memorial message I gave at my dad's service a few weeks ago, when I went to my grandmother's funeral service that was led by Pastor Jack Lancaster at First Presbyterian here, he said, "At a time like this, we must turn to the Scriptures." I've always remembered that, and I believe it. So I want us to turn to a few Scriptures today, see what it said, what they say about death, resurrection. These are very important to me because I was at the funeral home today and I went into the room where my mother's body was to view the casket. As I stood there beside her casket and looked upon the body of my mother, which was cold. It didn't quite look like her. But I began to weep. I began to weep like Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. And so I said to her, "Mom, I'll see you at the resurrection." So I want us to consider the resurrection. At a time like this, the resurrection of the dead is the only thing that matters for you and for me. Hear what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, verse 42, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." And then he says down here in verse 50, he says, "I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. It means die. But we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. We will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mom believed in Christ. She believed in Christ all her life. I remember as a teenager, occasionally she and I would sit in front of the TV out in the sunroom and we would watch the Billy Graham crusade. And sometimes we would talk about the sermon that we heard at church. My sister, Carol, wanted us to consider this precious scripture from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 34. The Apostle Paul again is writing, and he said, "Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then there's one more passage that I want to read you. My mom, I do believe, is a sincere Christian. And so this is a Christian memorial service. And so the focus of our service is not only on the person's life that we're celebrating, but on the one in whom she hoped. Now, the Bible, often when it uses the word hope, doesn't mean hope the way we do. And I hope to get there on time today. If the traffic's not too bad. No, it often means a certainty about a future event which hasn't come to pass yet, but which we have confidence it will. So, the Apostle Paul writes here in 1 Thessalonians 4 to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep," he means those who died, "or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. And so I was at the funeral home this morning, and I beheld my mother's cold body, and I began to weep. And I told her, "I'll see you at the resurrection." And so I wept, but not as one who has no hope, for I have hope that she will be there. I have hope that I will be there, because I believe in Jesus Christ, and she believes in Jesus Christ. Friends and family, at the time of death, there is no other hope besides the resurrected Christ. He is our only hope. If Christ did not die for our sins and rise from the dead, there is no hope for us. What it means is death is won. We are defeated. We're lost forever. We turn to dust, disappear. But there were men who beheld the resurrected Christ, and they wrote about him in our New Testament. There was Peter and John and James and the Apostle Paul, and they all declared. These were rational men. These were holy men. These were men who spoke the truth, and they said they had seen the resurrected Christ. They had touched him, and some had even eaten meals with him. Paul declared that Christ indeed is raised from the dead. He's the first fruits of them that sleep. He's the first to rise from the dead, and all those who believe in him will follow. Yes, time is marching on. For you, for me, and for everyone in this room, the cold clutches of death will seize us also, as it has seized my mother. But there is one who has broken the chains of death by his own resurrection from the grave, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Death is defeated. The way to eternal life is open. And if we believe in him, we can live forever in the presence of our Creator and Savior. I invite you today to join Caroline in her hope in the resurrected Christ. We must believe in him and commit ourselves totally to follow him all the days of our lives. Then when he returns at the end of this age to resurrect the dead, we shall then join him and all those who have believed and followed and gone before. Once again, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, toward the end of the chapter, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to see Mom again at the resurrection. And I want you all to be there too. And invite you to turn your life, if you have not done this, over to the living Christ, who sits at the right hand of God at this very moment, ruling over all things in heaven and earth. And he will return just as surely as he rose from the dead. So my friends and family, there is hope today. I'm grieving. My siblings, my aunt, my cousins are grieving. But there's hope because Christ rose, that this is not the end of the story, but life will go on in the presence of our resurrected Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.